Washington Tape.
And you're listening to 95.9 CKUW at the University of Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
Smart, now a shark, now I know how to shut it down. If I'm not feeling it, but I don't know how to tell if I'm feeling it or not. Jeremy thinks everyone is hot, and he might be on to something. He plays along to something, no rehearsal. Kenny hates names and songs, thinks it makes them not universal. And they might be on to something. What's in a name? Something right, so I put it in my song or something. And be to blame for something light, just play along or something. Even if it's wrong or something. Why'd they move the rock to the other side of Ulster Park? Why don't I feel a spark? Now I've learned to ride a bike in the grass. Spit metal and glass, cold rock on my ass. How do you end a novel? It always feels rushed. If it's too drawn out, it's awful. It's easy to give too much. How do you leave them wanting more? How do you leave the door open? But nobody likes an open door. Nobody wants to be left open. For more, for more, for more. Except the publisher, maybe they want people to want more.
You're listening to Band for Band on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and you were just listening to the first two songs off of Eliza Niemi's Progress Bakery.
Album from 2025. We are working out of a satellite radio station today, just as there's some renovations going on in the main station, so please bear with us if there's any technical difficulties. Yeah, we've taken a couple weeks off doing some reruns, but we wanted to come back for an episode and share this album in full that we really love. You have been the one to really put me on to Eliza Niemi.
Yeah, I mean, like, some background, I guess, is that she is a multi-instrumentalist from Toronto, has collaborated with a lot of what I would call supergroups in Toronto, like Little Kid and Westlaken. A lot of those people are actually featured on this album. But my love for this album specifically, and like my desire to play it today in full, I don't know, it feels like very akin to like a Canadian version of Magnetic Fields in a lot of ways, with a mix of like Arthur Russell too, because Eliza Niemi is also a cellist, and there's a lot of like really interesting kind of off-kilter cello playing throughout the album, and also just like her lyricism too, is something that I've always been incredibly fond of, and just like want to share with as many people as possible. I don't know, it's just like the desire, or when you listen to an album that feels incredibly special and it feels like it has some, like, not to be cliche, but like hints of friendship in it. I feel like that's kind of what this album embodies, and I think we've played a couple of songs from this album.
And maybe even in the her past. Last one.
Mm-hmm.
I find she's, as far as modern equivalents, I don't know anyone else who quite sounds like her, and she's an artist who I've like really grown to love. It wasn't like one of these artists who I hear and I'm like, I love you immediately, but hearing her as sort of a soundtrack in our home,
mm-hmm.
and over the last couple of years has been really lovely, and now I just, it's like comforting music for me, and I feel so lucky to have her music to return to when I need some comfort.
Yeah, I saw her perform essentially an album release adjacent kind of show last summer at Expo RIP in Toronto, and it was Liza Niemi accompanied by Kenny Boothby from Little Kid, and also Alex Nunes of Spirit Josh. And it was just such a beautiful evening in this, like, disgustingly sweaty warehouse that also doubles as a vintage store during the day. I don't know. And, like, that show was incredibly special to me and something I think about really often because of their performance. But also, it was the first show I learned about, what's their name? Lily Seabird.
Lily Seabird, who we've also played on the show.
Yeah, and it's such a treat to learn about a new artist, not through, like streaming.
Like but an algorithm?
But being able to, like, go to a show and not know who the openers are, and then end up falling in love with their music.
That's, like, maybe the best feeling.
Exactly.
In the world.
And that's what happened to me, and I'm like, ugh, Lily Seabird is, like, such a mainstay in my life these days, and I know that they all have a really tight-knit relationship, too. So it's just, like, nice to be immersed in that. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get into playing the rest of the album.
Here is Green Box.
Up in my phone, I think I'll pick up, but I don't, 'cause I'm just out to send some post and not be close to your cold light. Nitric oxide. Flying at night, go ahead, light it up, make Lucifer. Just calcium and oxygen for your cold light. Nitric oxide. Let's go out and shoot some hoops. Your sister and her boyfriend too. I'll be sure to wear my worst shoes so I fall, and from your stoop you shoot me your cold light. Active wrong, your power.
great when your tubes are so small with oxygen that you can't pull. It's a cold night. Nitric
I'll let Eliza do the intro.
I was up all night reading your old articles, like when the light shines on slow dust particles. The water shocks me, smells like missing you in here. But I'm detoxing, easy breezy, clean and clean.
You sing Toronto as I look into your eyes. You watch him solo and start to sigh. It can be finicky to key out the tongue. Use a mask opacity, then pen like rotoscope. And it's art you relate to, but doesn't make you cry. And she's by Gordon Lightfoot, but she can read my mind. And can you sense it? No, you already have.
Welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. You are listening to Band for Band, and we are today going through the entirety of a favorite of ours, Eliza Niemi's album Progress Bakery, released in 2025. For those of you who don't know Toronto, Progress Bakery, as an album title refers to Progress Bakery, the bakery, the corner of Dovercourt and Harvard? No.
It's like the street right before DuPont. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But the album cover is really lovely because it's not a photo of Progress Bakery, but it's
From Progress Bakery.
Like, it's taken the
standing
camera
at it, looking across the street. Kitty Corner, I guess. Yeah.
Where the convenience store is.
The 7-7 food market is.
Which is kind of a big thing for us because we literally used to live down
the
street.
We lived around
the corner.
It's
like a sort of like, aw, our old home.
Yeah. It does feel like it reminds me of Toronto. As much as Toronto is a lot and we won't
the
get into
the worst place in the world.
Okay. Christina grew up there.
A
they
place
can say
where
that.
Your dreams die. But also kind of come true if that's what you're into. I don't know.
So many possibilities.
Soulless place.
This album's special to us. Frankly, Dusty, two songs ago, we heard the Linda song last, but before that was Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
And before that was Green Box. But Dusty is one of my favorite songs of the past couple years, I think. Maybe ever, but yeah, definitely of the last couple years.
I really love the Linda song for like a completely different reason why I think I can relate to why you like Dusty. I don't know, like, she does this really special thing throughout the album where I feel like the lyrics are like peppered with a lot of like specific Toronto references, but also like very slice of life.
Well, was it in Dusty that she shouted out Winnipeg too, actually?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out Winnipeg. All you.
But it's also just really funny too. Like, they're like, if you catch certain points in the lyrics, like, she'll just say something really, really funny. And it just feels so lighthearted, but also like intentionally very meditative and, I don't want to say serious, but like there's a nice balance of like humor in a lot of the songs, but also like sincerity.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I really love the lyrics. The Linda song specifically, like her cello playing is really, really beautiful in it. And it doesn't feel like it takes over the song at all. It like comes in at like a few different moments. And I don't know. I just like
her arranging capacity is,
it's really good.
Abilities,
it's
talents.
Really, really good.
And very like, nice.
You can tell that she made this album with people she trusts and works with fairly often. Yeah, that's why, I don't know, I really love this album. Like, I think Louis Short produced it with her, and he helped record it in his home studio, so that's exciting. I love a DIY project. But do you have anything else you want to?
Not right now. I think I'm kind of enjoying sitting back and listening to this album because I haven't like sat and listened to it so intentionally in a while, and doing that is a good experience because so often I'm putting music on in the background or to get stuff done and you forget to like appreciate a project for as a piece of art like you would maybe other art forms.
Yeah,
like to sit down.
Yeah.
Music is so often experienced passively, which doesn't always do justice to the artist's work. Not that they necessarily like demand you to be an active listener, because this album is great to put on in the background. But
I would say I would challenge that a little bit about this album. I feel like if you are actively listening to it, there are so many like,
oh yeah, I know, I'm saying it can be both,
intricacies of it too. Like sonically it's really beautiful, it sounds really nice and is like easy listening to an extent, but I also feel like there are moments that are a little bit more complicated. Like if you're not into like dissonant sounding cello playing, I feel like that gets thrown in here and there throughout the album and it feels like kind of like a whoa, where is this going? And that's why I feel like the Magnetic Fields comparison and like the Arthur Russell comparison feels really apt here for obvious reasons, because Arthur Russell was a cellist.
Yeah.
But in a way that felt like very arty in similar ways that I feel like she's going for.
Just like also like non-self-conscious in a refreshing way. Like
intuitive playing.
Intuitively, going with some gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess that can come off across as maybe a dig when it's like, oh, you're not self-conscious, to make it sound weird.
No,
but
that's why I said intuitive.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like the playing is coming from a perspective where it's like she's listening to what they've already, like, tracked. And it's like, what could go here? And it's just like, oh, just playing. Like, improvisationally
I'd be curious to see what the recording process is like.
But back to what I was saying about, like, the humor of this album, we're going to listen to DMBF right after we finish yapping, and I feel like the lyrics on that song are pretty fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
My card. just write melodies like Merc in the car. I wanna be at peace like a dog in the yard, feeling free to poop and run and bark after bicycles and skateboards and cars, with melodies inside being written by Merc. I wanna be feeling me like the guy in the bar, feeling free to say whatever I. My card, but it scars me when I'm not charging. Fingers on the screen slowly spread out, zoom and enlarge me, and it's gnarly. All my scars see dripping blood, all on the car seat. And my guitar street, it smells sweet. Evaporating off the pleather, sticky caramel, heat sickly hazy, Marc Jacobs daisy. Makeup's crazy, charge me, fix my AC, cause I'll buy anything you sell to me, as long as I can be alone and write my little melodies.
The cold dying light of a firefly inside, waiter clerk, fair work every night. Money's good and all that, objectively not bad. Six stories down to stay wildcat. I don't know a couple books of pages. Local grocery store reminds me of you. The little bugs on my floor remind me of you. That little fart sound my chair makes when I sit down to do takes reminds me of you. The fact that I can't stop thinking of you no matter what I do, that reminds me of you too. It all reminds me of you.
Sticking the high rise, getting ready to.
practiced a little bit, and as expected, but a shock to me. It was really weird and out of tune. It wasn't what I wanted it to be, and I kept looking outside for you. People talking through the set and
back to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. You are listening to Band for Band. We are listening to Eliza Niemi's Progress Bakery today, a favorite of ours. You just heard Bon Tempe. Before that, Pocky. Before that, How You Remind Me. Before that, Wildcat. Melodies Like Mark. Before that, I Tried.
Before that,
DMBF. We played a lot in a row, partially because like half of these songs are under 2 minutes, if not under 1 minute.
But they're all like interludes.
Yeah. We got a couple left on the album. We might have some time to play something else at the end.
Yeah. More Eliza Niemi related.
Yeah, I think we will. Well, yeah, there's a couple songs left on this album, this really fantastic album. We're going to probably play afterwards some songs that she made with more musical heroes of ours in Toronto, the band Westlaken, where they were covering each other, and some other Toronto musical royalty, Little Kid.
Yeah,
I feel like we don't shut up about these guys, all of these.
Yeah, it's because they're all good.
They're all great. They're all fantastic.
Yeah, I don't really know. That's why you were like, we should cut to talk. And I'm like, I have said everything I need to say about this album.
Yeah,
I
the
will
music
say,
will speak for itself.
Go clap if you think we should do a Jackass episode next week.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm in deep right now.
Okay, but yeah, while we're here, what qualifies a song that is worthy of a Jackass episode?
Songs from the movies / songs that feel like they should be in the movies / TV show.
Yeah. That. Okay.
I already have so many.
So like goofy kind of pop punk.
Corona by Minutemen.
Well, I mean, yeah, but.
Yeah. Pop punk.
Not pop punk. I meant more like.
What do you
like,
think this is?
Not, sorry.
No, I'm joking.
I don't know why I'm apologizing.
I feel like pop punk adjacent songs wouldn't hurt, but
punk adjacent.
I just
generally really
want to do that episode for my own selfish reasons. And
Tina's trying to get Johnny Knoxville's attention.
Yeah. Okay. No. PJ Clapp.
No, we're not calling him by his venereal disease name. But well, if you can't tell,
I've just been watching the Big
Jackass Best and Last a week and a half ago, and it was my introduction to Jackass, which is kind of crazy, but I really did enjoy it. Tina is currently looking
don't
at their phone
the people,
back screen,
don't tell the people,
and
don't
it is
tell
a photo of Johnny Knoxville.
Don't tell the people. Well, you just did, but...
I did.
Yeah.
You should see their laptop screen.
And what about it? That one's the best one because it's from one of the earlier episodes.
Yeah, where his nipple's getting bitten by a...
A baby crocodile.
Crocodile.
A crocodile. I don't know, there's just like baked in nostalgia and the world is really bad right now, so I'm just trying to remember my youth.
Yeah. Well, there's no youth for me to be nostalgic about when watching it, but
yeah,
I did have a great time.
You're experiencing it for the first time, which is so beautiful.
We've talked a lot about its appeal to queer people.
Yeah.
And you had a good theory yesterday, was that like they understand the thing that queer people understand, that like gender is a performance, and they're uninhibited in trying to sort of make a farce out of it in some respect.
Exactly.
They're aware of it.
They make it,
let's lean into it.
They make it present that like masculinity is malleable in a lot of ways. And like what is that, you know?
Maybe we got to say some of these thoughts for our Jackass episode.
Yeah, it's true. We're going to come in next week and be like, I don't really know what to say about this. I guess I like this song.
No, well... Well, talk about, okay, maybe we have to like play songs and then talk about what stupid stunt we would do along to each song.
No.
Or maybe favorite moments.
I'm like really happy with the way my body is, and I really don't need more concussions personally.
This is true.
I feel like all of them are gonna die from dementia, unfortunately. Yeah. So, okay, we should get into the last couple of songs.
Oh, we got time, but yeah.
We're here talking about Eliza Niemi, not Jackass.
So, we're gonna now go to PT Basement.
Part-time
Basement.
Part-time.
Enjoy.
What were you doing at the Albuquerque airport? What were you doing there? hiding out on the beach, liking on the rocks and garlands of weed and reef, wrapped around his socks and gently floss his teeth. They stitch across the wash of surgery, and Shane yelled while Chris screamed.
for listening. Hope you have a great weekend.